Welcome back, everybody. If you guys want to go ahead and grab your seats, that's always good, right? I like when people, when we do the 3 minute 33, there's conversation going on, there's life, right? It's not the chosen frozen. There's life in the church, right? That's always a good thing. So welcome, good morning to Christ. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. We are going to dismiss the kids, but before we do that, we want to do something special today. So why don't you guys go ahead and sit down for a little bit. We're going to have, God is good, amen? Amen? Got a lot of reasons to be thankful for. You guys know that. We have life. God is moving. He's doing some cool things. And God is a God of favor and provision and protection, amen? So I don't know if some of you guys know, and I don't want to talk more, but we had one of our family members here in the church had a car accident this morning. We say, listen, God is with us through the storm. God is a God of provider. He's God of provision. And so this morning, our sister Irene is going to come up. She's going to share a little bit about what God has been doing in her life, not just recently, but in this whole year, she actually told me. She says, and it's interesting. Today, the message is on how and why we should tell others. So it's fitting that there should be a testimony, right? We didn't even plan this, actually. It's part of the Rooted campaign. But our sister Irene is going to come up. She's going to share, right? And I think we're, number one, so thankful, right, that for her protection, so thankful that she's not, what happened to our brother Tony and our sister Irene. Could have been a lot worse. Come on up, sister. I know. She told me, Pastor, be careful. Once I get at the microphone, I might not stop. I said, hey, praise God. We might need somebody. I need a break, sister. But, yeah. So welcome me. Let's turn on the mic. See, she's already ready. The mic's not even on, and she's already starting to.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Hi, everybody. I'm just here to want to say a few things about what God's been doing in my life. In the last year, I don't even know where to start, but I don't even know what to say. He saved so many of my family so much in this last year. Going back to my nephew when he was almost murdered in the streets, God saved him. He's missing 1/4 of his head, but he's all intact, his whole brain. He's walking, talking, doing everything on his own. He's back in the street, I'm sad to say, but God's not done with him yet. I give God the glory for saving him that night that he was laying in the alley, lifeless for hours, but God saved him through it. And he's here alive. He's not here, but he's with us today with my sister. He's still alive. He's been with my sister Linda through her healing process of her kidneys, her all of these infections overtaking her body. He saved her for another day. My niece with her twins, her babies that were going to have all these surgeries and the worst outlook possible, God saved them all. They're here for another day, by the grace of God. He's been there. Sometimes God's answer is no. We lost some loved ones along the way, but I trust God's reasons for that, why he took them. And it's okay, because I know that I will see them again. And I'm just grateful for all this love and kindness that everybody's showing us, my church family, my family. My daughter, Grace, I don't know how to thank God for her, for my family, for my two sons, for my grandchildren, for all my nieces. I have very many nieces and nephews. I have a big family. I'm grateful for all of them and everything that God has done. He saved us, and I don't know how much more I can show him my glory, his glory that he deserves for saving us, because at that moment, it was like, that was the moment, like, I don't know how to explain it, but that thought was when I seen it, Jesus is what I called out, Jesus. And he saved us all, not a drop of blood, broken bones, yeah, but we're going to heal. Not a broken spirit. He saved us. He protected us. My niece Lynn, I want to pray for her to get through this hard time, as she's a recovering addict. I support her in everything she needs to go through, and I just pray that God continue to work in her life and see her through this challenge that she's going through. She's trusting the Lord. And I just know God's going to open up the right doors for her and her children, that they're going to follow as well. I have faith in God, and I see him working in all my family. I do, one day at a time, and our kids, especially our kids, they need God. They need to know about the age of accountability, because sometimes they don't even know that. And you don't know when that moment's going to come. I didn't see that accident coming, neither did Tony. But like I said, Jesus saved us in that moment. And I'm grateful to him. I need him every second, every moment, especially through these aches and pains that I feel. And he gets me through them. And I just want to thank everybody for all their love and their kindness to our family in this hard time. But we're getting through it one day at a time. And I thank you and love you all.
I didn't even go for all my notes. You can still go.
It's okay, I'm good. All right.
Praise God. There's some pictures that of the car accident, right? It was on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, right? Tuesday afternoon in the Fowl area. And you know, it's funny how when you're going through something like that happens, you have a split second. And I remember this, we were in a car accident similar to that, and I remember Stephanie calling out to Jesus at that moment and praying. The one thing I remember, whenever those things happen and it feels like everything slowed down, do you remember, after the fact, you guys gone through that? And the one thing I remember was Stephanie praying, right? And some funny sister, you said that you called out to Jesus, right? And how he protects and provides. And I mean, to go through something like that and not have a drop of blood spilled, right? God is good. Amen. He provides and he protects. And so thank you, Sister Irene, for sharing. I could tell you have the gift of speaking too. So, Sister, we're going to have to talk after. Sometimes I need breaks, you know. But, you know, God is good. And, hey, church family, I'm really thankful for everybody that's participating, helping in. Listen, the one thing that, you know, sorry, I'm trying to get this thing. You guys remember what Jesus said in John chapter 17? Of course you guys do. You guys are the best. I mean, you guys know scriptures like nobody's business, right? You know what he says. I know you guys are just not telling me the answer because you want me to feel like, okay, you want me to tell you. No, I know you guys already know. But Jesus said what? He said, they will know that they are, that God has sent the Son into the world, not by how gifted the preacher is, not by how awesome your worship team is, not even by the size of the church. You know what he said? He said, they will know by the unity of the church. They will know by how they love each other, right? And so what do we have to do with, listen, you guys have known this. We had our anniversary celebration a year ago, the 1 year anniversary 2 Sundays ago, right? We said all we want to do is to be authentic with each other. All we want to do is to serve one another and to love one another. And I'm telling you what, listen, our job is to show love and support for the family, to love each other, to have that kind of unity. Not the kind of unity where it's like, oh, I see that person and it's like, oh, I don't, that person rubs me the wrong way, blah, 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 blah. That's what's causing problems in the church, guys. We want to be the church where, we want to be the John chapter 17 church, that they will know that there is a Father in heaven who sent the Son, saved the world by the unity and the love of the church. So keep showing up, guys. Keep showing our brothers and sisters love. And here's the thing, too. If you have a need, this is not the place where we walk up and we just have we front, right? How are you doing? Oh, I'm good. And inside, you're dying. How are you going? I'm good. But you feel like all alone. You have all kinds of depression, anxiety. Dude, the world is already full of that, guys. It doesn't have to be that way in the church. So all I'm saying is, like, let's be real with these things. And we're going to have our highs and our lows, but we're here to do it together. Amen? So let's keep showing up for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for those of you that already signed up for the meal train. Keep showing that love and support. And listen, they're going to need some more help, right? But here's the thing. As a church body, we got to communicate the need as well. If you have a need, let us know. We're here to help and serve. There's a lot of people that are here that are talented and gifted at doing different things, right? You might have the gift of cooking really good food, in which case you need to call me. You need to invite me to dinner to your house, right? You might have the gift of fixing stuff, right? Maybe I'll give me your number too. I got stuff that breaks all. No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding, but I'm not. Because here's the reality of it. Man, we're here to serve. We're here to help. We're here to be the body of Christ, right? And to be his hands and his feet. And that's what makes it the church different. Listen, you guys can join all kinds of different social clubs and nonprofits that make you feel good. But that's not what the church is about. The church is about having a place where you belong, where you can meet Jesus, where the body of believers and the Spirit is alive and doing his will on earth, right? And so let's keep doing that, guys. Thank you. Thank you again for those of you that already signed up. Let's keep doing that for each other. But here's the thing, right? We also have to be into the body. You have to participate. You have to show up. It takes time. Everybody is busy. But man, that's just another word for distraction, guys. We have to be present for each other. So let's keep doing that. Amen? All right, praise God. Let's keep our brother Tony and our sister Irene in prayer for healing, for recovery. They still got a long ways, long road ahead of them, to be honest with you. She didn't say it, but she has a couple of fractures in her lower lumbar region. I say this because I had a similar injury in my thoracic region. It's about 3 months of some solid pain that's coming, right? And so we have to keep praying for her. She's going to need support, right? So, Tony, you got to wash all the dishes, brother, she told me. She said, make sure you say that I'm not going to do the laundry. Tony's going to have to do all kinds of stuff. Tony, we got you. And with one hand, right? But again, let's just keep prayer and keep supporting as best we can. Amen? And sister, if you need anything, brother, if you need anything, I already told you, hey, we're a phone call and a text away. We're just here for you guys. Amen? All right. God is good. At this time, we are going to release the kids because I see them running around. Somebody gave Laz coffee already. He's running over here. So we are going to dismiss the kids. No, you guys think, you thought I was kidding. No, he's really running around in the back over there. He's over here. He's on this side. Stephen got him. But let's pray, right? Man, what a gift it is to have kids in the church, amen? It's a blessing. It's a future, right? So we got to continue to pour out into our kids. And they have the best teacher today. Jasmine. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come before you again in the name of your son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of children, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us the command to marry and to multiply and to have kids, Lord God, and you give us dominion, Lord. Right now, I pray for these beautiful children, Lord. I pray for your word to come alive in their hearts, Lord. I pray that they would continue continue to pour out into our kids, Lord, to raise them up in your timeless ways, Lord God, that they can stand firm on who you are in for this generation, Lord God. These times are crazy right now, but Lord, we lift up our children to you, Lord. Will you help us to raise them up to love you, to know you, and to fear you, Lord God. And Lord God, bless them and protect them, all of our children, Lord. Thank you again for this morning, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, praise God. All right. So we are approaching the end of the Rooted campaign, right? I don't know if you guys have been enjoying it, the daily devotions. There's a lot of good stuff on that and what we've been doing the last 10 weeks. And so we've been learning about who God is. We've been learning about the enemy, his tactics. We've been learning about how we can communicate with God. We learned about how God wants us to serve, how he wants us to use our gifts, talents, and abilities to build up the kingdom. Last week, we learned about how God views money, right? And how God wants us to be good stewards of the gifts and talents and the resources that he has afforded us to build up the kingdom. And today, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to start talking about how we share the good news of who God is, right? We had a testimony today. And so everybody in here, right, if you've been walking with God, God has, he knows you, he sees you, he knows your path, and you have a story to tell. But it's not your story. It's a story of what God is doing in your life, right? That's why it's his story and what he's doing. And ultimately, he gets all the honor and he gets all the glory, right? Because what do we deserve? We deserve wrath. We deserve justice, right? We deserve what we've sown. But God gives us mercy. God gives us salvation. He gives us grace, right? And so how and why we should tell others is the name of today's sermon. Because ultimately, right, every single person in here, whether you believe it or not, let me see by a show of hands, do you have friends and family who don't know who Jesus is as their Savior? Only everybody else, everybody you know is saved. Probably not. Everybody in here knows somebody who doesn't know, who is not saved. Amen. People who has friends or families who don't know who Jesus is. And so it's important to recognize that, number one, God has put you in specific families, around specific friends, in your place of work. It's not by accident. You're there, right, for a reason. And you have a relationship with these people. And so God wants us to share the good news of who He is, right? And so the gospel, right, it's the God story. It's the good news if you translate it. And I'm not talking about the word gospel and the word gossip are kind of similar. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm not talking about the chisme. We need to be gossiping about Jesus, not gossiping about your neighbor. Amen? All right. But here's the thing, right? We have to share the good news because how about, let me show of hands, right? You guys can recall a time in your life when something awesome happened to you. Maybe you got, when you fell in love the first time. No? Nobody remembers that? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so in love. I can't stop thinking about him. I can't stop thinking about her. Yeah? And you want to tell somebody, don't you? Or do you normally just say like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody that news. It's terrible news. No, you want to tell somebody, no? Yeah? All right. How about when you got engaged or you're going to, God bless you with a baby, a child, or the baby's born. Yeah, people, that's good news. You usually want to share that. Yeah, and that's the good news. Now, some of those are important milestones, but honestly, there's nothing like the good news of salvation. Amen? There's nothing like when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and you get saved, man. There is nothing that compares. That's a supernatural thing. The things that I was talking about is just relational things, like human things, and those are exciting. But when we have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and we get saved, man, that is the good news, guys. The good news that we don't reap what we deserve. We deserve justice, and we deserve what we've planted. Like I said, when we were separated from God, but we deserve the good news, right? Is that God comes in and He restores our relationship through our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, most of you guys in here, show of hands, how many of you guys are on Instagram, Facebook? X. It's Twitter, right? And some of you guys call that. So there's a joke a pastor that I listened to, and he's like, you know what? One day those three things are going to get, you guys all have YouTube too, right? Yeah. He's like, one day those three companies are going to they're going to get bought out by somebody. So it's like YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's going to be called YouTwitface, right? I don't know. It's a corny joke, but there's a lot of social media, right? There's a lot of different things that happen. And what happens when you're on social media usually? You scroll, right? Some of you, let me see your thumb right here. Your hand's all buff from going like this, right? Some of you guys have carpal tunnel. That's me. That's how you know you're getting old. You can't even like scroll anymore. You're like, oh, my hand hurts. So I can't do it for so long. And then you just get all kinds of random stuff, right? You might get all kinds of stuff on your feed. But has this ever happened to you? When you're on your Facebook or Instagram or your Snapchat, and there's too many stuff now. I'm so old that I can't keep up. I started with Facebook, and then now I have Instagram, and then that's enough. But it's like a trap too, right? It sucks up all your time. But has this ever happened to you? When you're on one of those, on your favorite social media platforms, and you see your friends or your family, and they're somewhere, and you're like, oh, they didn't even invite me. Those suckers. Yeah? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like you're like, oh, I wanted to go. And then you start to get what? You get all mad, right? And what's that word called? It's called fear of what? you're missing out, right? Your fear of missing out. It's called FOMO, right? And so that's kind of like a, you know, then you get over it and you're like, fine, I didn't want to go anyway, whatever, right? But here's the reality of it. Why is God calling us to share the good news and share our testimony? Because I'm going to introduce a new thing to you guys. And if it's one thing that you remember today, it's not going to be that you have FOMO, right? Or we should actually post and say, like, we're having a great time at church. You know, yeah, woohoo. No, here's the thing, right? Let me just, you may not remember anything that I say, but you're probably going to remember this. This is a new concept. I want you to know this word. It's called FOMU, right? So here's what we need to have. We need to have a fear of missing out on heaven, right? Now, for our friends, your FOMO is you. You're missing out. But here's the reality of it is that we need to start to have a healthy dose of FOMU in our life for our loved ones, for our friends and family who don't know who Jesus is, guys. Who don't know who Jesus is. 11 different times in the New Testament, Jesus would talk about a certain place, and he would talk about hell, guys. There was a lot of messages that he gave, and especially as the ministry was growing in his 3 years of earthly ministry, he talked about it a lot. He talked about a place where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He would talk about the lake of fire. He would talk about separation, eternal separation from God. He talked about Lazarus and the rich man. You guys remember that in terms of, he says, once you cross over, you can't cross back. And you guys remember in that story, he says, can you just tell them just to dip their finger so I can have a little bit of water? No. He says, that's it. There's not a way back from that. So I'm saying it. It's kind of like tongue in cheek, right? The fear of missing out on heaven. But this should be a real fear for us, guys. That the people that we love, we have friends and family who don't know who Jesus is as their Lord and Savior. And it should move us beyond our comfort zone. You see, when people often, when they're asked to say, have you shared the good news with somebody that you love? The first thing that normally happens is we start to think about ourselves. It's an inward look. Because what? We're afraid. We're afraid of what? Afraid of, I mean, what do you guys think it is? Fear of what? Criticism, yeah. But if you know somebody in your life who doesn't know Jesus, and you see them every single day, but you never bring up Jesus, you never bring up your testimony, what are you afraid of? Let me give you guys a hint. I know you guys know the answer because you guys are like super smart. It starts with re, it ends with rejection. Rejection. Man, you guys are so smart. I told you guys. So I every Sunday morning, I drive through Sanger and I start looking for the smartest church and the most beautiful church. And every time I park here, I said, I'm glad I'm here because they're all right here. The smartest church and the most beautiful church in all of Sanger, right here. Amen? Amen. Listen, we have to move beyond our fear of being rejected. We have to move beyond the fear that they're going to think that we're all those Bible-thumping, Jesus-loving Christians. You know what? We should say, yeah, I love my Bible and I love Jesus. But here's the thing. I love you more than my fear of being rejected by you, because I'm going to tell you in love that where we are and where you are, the path that you're heading on, is not leading to salvation, right? We have to love people enough to see them past that. Move beyond our own comfort zone, guys, to tell the good news of who Jesus is. Because here's the reality of it. Who doesn't need some good news? Right? Everybody needs the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we have to be the ones to show up, because God has appointed us for this specific time to the families that we're in, to the circle of friends that we have, to our places of employment, to share the good news of who He is, right? And so, right, in 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting that anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance, right? Sharing the gospel, right? If you guys, I opened the message with, it's like being invited. Doesn't it feel good to be invited, even if you're busy? Like that party that you were seeing on your Instagram or in your Facebook, sometimes you couldn't have gone anyway, yeah? You were at work. You were going somewhere else. You were double booked already, right? You couldn't have gone anyway. But what did you want? What did you really want? You wanted to be invited, huh? You don't want to be left out. That's what hurts you. You're like, oh, they didn't even invite me. Right? Here's the reality of it, though. When you're sharing your testimony, talking about Jesus, you're inviting people to a party that's out of this world, guys. You get what I'm saying? You're inviting people to say, man, I know you think this is good down here. Let me tell you, let me invite you to a supernatural party. It's called heaven. Let me invite you to what it means to have real peace. Let me invite you to a party where it's not just about food and feeling all like, food coma after and even being bored. No, let me invite you to a party where you have the ability to come into communion with God. Let me invite you to a party where you can be restored, you can be made whole, when you can find peace and hope. Let me invite you to this party where all the brokenness in your life can be restored through the person of Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we be excited to invite people to that kind of party? I think we should. I think we should. So, the main point, right, the first point in today's message is that your testimony is a unique story that God can use to bring others to Him. Your testimony is a unique story that God can use to bring others to Him. Now, why do we write stuff down here? Because there's something about writing it out from your brain to your hand that causes you to remember. Now, if you just listen, you will have forgotten 95% of this message by Tuesday morning. I promise you. Your testimony is a unique story that God can use to bring others to Him. Now, the main passage that we're going to be reading today is out of Acts 26. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 26, or we're going to follow along up here. Acts 26, verse 1. Now, I give you guys the context of this. This is Paul writing in the book of Acts, and he's gone through and he's facing another inquisition. He's facing a kind of like a mock trial, right? Paul and Jesus, they always get the people falsely accuse them of certain things, and he's being falsely accused by the religious leaders of starting a riot. He's teaching all these things. He's leading people to Christ. And so the context is that Paul has been falsely accused by the religious leaders. And so we're going to pick up here. Now, Paul, you guys remember this, Paul was a Roman citizen. You guys remember that? And by the fact that he was a Roman citizen, he had the ability to petition, to say, listen, you can't judge me here. I'm a Roman citizen. He says, in fact, I petitioned to Caesar. And that was because, I don't know if you guys know this, the Romans were all about the laws, the legal structure. And so because he was a Roman citizen, that was his right. In fact, he says, I'm not going to go through it. You guys, and I don't want to go through much into it. But so we pick up in Acts 26 where he's right in the middle of having to defend himself to one of the kings. In fact, he's already been, the Jewish leaders have falsely accused him. He's gone now to one of the other governors, a governor named Festus. Now, Festus is not as familiar, so he kind of punts him off to King Agrippa. Agrippa was familiar with the Jewish customs at the time, and so that's where we pick up today. All right. So I don't want you guys to think that we're just grabbing stuff out of context, right? So it says, 26 verse 1. It says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. He said, King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me. The Jewish people all know the way that I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life, in my own country, and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strict sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now, it is because of my hope and what God has promised in our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise of our 12 tribes. It is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and they were put to death. Cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. So I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign countries. And I'll stop there. So what is Paul doing? Number one, he's under investigation. He's kind of being interrogated. And he stands up and he says, listen, let me share my testimony, right? Let me tell you about what's happened. And so he starts to kind of give some history about what's happening to him. And the one thing that we see, right, that everybody's testimony, and Paul does this really well. He starts to say, well, that's Paul. You're sitting there and you're like, well, I'm not a Pharisee. I don't have all these things. I didn't go to Bible school. Does that sound familiar to you guys? When you have to witness to somebody, what's the first thing that you usually start doing? You start doubting yourself, yeah? You start doubting whether you're qualified. You start doubting yourself whether you have enough scriptures memorized. You don't feel quite comfortable. You don't feel called. But what Paul is saying is to say, listen, he doesn't start saying, like, I have to do all this. He starts telling his story. And his story was that he was a Pharisee. He was from one of the strictest religious sects. Sects, not what you guys thought I said. Sects. but he starts telling his own story. And the very first part, and one of the things that we need to look at is that, you know, and it's the next part, is that your testimony has three parts. Your testimony has three parts. And so the second fill in the blank is that he starts talking, and as we build out our own testimony, that we learn from Paul, is that our life before, three parts that we have is the first one is our life before Christ, when we were spiritually dead in our sin and transgression. Our life before Christ, when we were spiritually dead in our sin and our transgression. That's action. That's again, if we look at that, and that's a passage that we just read. Paul himself was talking about his life before he encountered Jesus Christ. He was talking about how he actually was persecuting the church. You guys remember that? There's a portion of the scripture, if you guys remember, that he had a letter, but he stood when somebody was being stoned. You guys remember his name? His name was, I'm going to look at these two guys and see if they know. No. I don't know. Saul was? Yes. Amen. Right? He was present when Stephen was being stoned. Saul himself, right, was holding the cloaks of people, and it says, and he approved. So he was persecuting the church, but he was talking about what his life was before Christ. He's saying, before Christ, you guys knew me. I was a Pharisee, and I was hunting down people, right? I was trying to do everything I could to stop the church from spreading. But what does it look like in your life, right? Your life, and as you build out your testimony, those of you who know Jesus Christ, we have to reflect and say, man, what was your life like without Jesus? That's how you start your testimony. It has three parts. Now, I have to be very careful in how we start talking about this part, because oftentimes I've heard people tell their testimony, and one of the things they start going to is they start talking about how crazy they were before they knew Jesus. You know people like that? They're saved, but man, they start giving, like, they're putting way too much hot sauce on that. Meaning like, oh, you should, man, before I got saved, I was crazy. And they even, I don't know why, when they start talking about the story, the neck starts going like this. I was crazy. I would do all this stuff. And it's like, listen, I know you're trying to talk about what your life was like, but don't glorify the sin, guys. Don't glorify the sin. Have you ever been people around like that? At our old church, this is a true story, we did a men's retreat one time, and we didn't vet everybody that was giving testimony. The guy got up and started giving testimony. He's like, oh, yeah, I was in jail. Man, we ordered all kinds of hits on different people, and probably like four or five guys got killed. I was like, man, who invited this guy to give testimony? That you're giving glory, like, to your old lifestyle. Like, that's not about Jesus at all. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And we're like, So we were, like, trying to get the hook, and we're like, take the mic away from that guy. We don't want to give glory to the past sin, guys. We want to acknowledge it, but we're not going to give glory to your... Because ultimately then, and people start reliving that. You start talking to people about how their life was like before Jesus, and they even start getting all excited, like, hey, you're kind of getting too excited telling that story about how you were a heathen, you know? Sorry. No, we're not called to glorify the sin. You can tell about it, and you have to be honest about it too, right? Listen, what resonates in testimony is what? It has to be authentic. And so and this is what I talked about when we started talking about the church. The church has to be authentic. It can't just be a place where we just show up and we're like, yes, I know Jesus. Jesus loves me. And I have it all figured out. My kids are well-behaved. I don't have any debt. I drive no, guys, man, come on, let's be real, right? People don't want, because if you're funny like that, you think people want to listen to you? Heck no. You want to listen to people to have it all like, well, let me tell you how perfect my life is, and Jesus loves me. Because when you start off with that, what are you immediately saying, right? You're immediately saying that it says, oh, Jesus loves me, and look at how I got it. You have friends like that? In Spanish, it's called the saca la punta. Like somebody who, you guys know what I'm talking about? No, you guys know what it is? Somebody that likes to flex. Like somebody likes to say, oh, look at all this stuff. Look how my life is perfect. And Jesus loves me. But on the flip side, the other person says, what are you trying to say? That Jesus doesn't love me because my life is a hot mess? You guys, does that make sense? So we have to be authentic with our story, our testimony. We have to be real. And the parts of your life that were a mess, guys, Not the part that you put on Facebook or Instagram. Not how good your food looks. Like, oh, look at my perfect lunch. Look at my perfect life. Look at how I'm going to go work out. No. How about the picture where you look all messed up? You're all tirado. You have all kinds of hot sauce on you. Your real life. Right? Your real life. Because that's what people want. What's real. People want to see all things. People don't want to say like, oh, my life is so perfect. My life is so good. You know what? Life is hard, guys. Life to live is a struggle. Jesus says this. Matthew 16:33, right? In this life, you're going to have trouble. But fear not, because I've overcome the world. So our testimony has to be authentic. It has to be real. Don't water it down. And don't hide the parts that you don't want nobody to know about. We're not going to say that we're going to give glory to God. That's not going to glorify God. By hiding the pits. And I'm not saying that we're going to go and publicize the worst parts of it. But you know what? God is going to put people in your life that have gone through what you've experienced. And all we got to say is that, hey, man, let me just tell you the truth about what my life was like without Jesus Christ. Let me be really crystal clear and honest with you. The reason why you see me have a successful marriage and that my kids listen to me is not because of anything that I've done. It's because of what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you what was happening in my marriage and my relationship. I would be divorced right now. I would be in jail right now. I was in this place where we can talk real life to people, and that resonates with people. Why? Because the pain is real, guys. But guess what? We have a Lord and Savior who is more real than those that situation and circumstance, that he can pull us out of that. So yeah, like Paul, when he's talking and he's saying, let me tell you about what my life was like before Christ, he's just going through his story. He doesn't have to add more hot sauce to it. He doesn't say, oh, man, yeah, and I was the one who ordered that hit on that guy, and they were throwing rocks at him. No, he's just telling the story. And it resonates with people because people knew what he was like, right? And here's the reality of it. There's people that you know that knew what you were like before you got saved. Does that make sense? They knew what you were like and were like, I used to know you. You weren't like that. You were kind of crazy. Does that make sense? And so we can be real and say, listen, this is what my life was like, but I will be crystal clear and honest with you. If we're honest, every single person, every one of us has a story and a testimony. When God called us, when Jesus called us, and it's usually at a place where we were chasing something and we thought we were going to achieve it, but it was always fool's gold. It was always a vapor. It was always something, right? Because we were empty on the inside. We were broken on the inside. We were hurting on the inside. Does that make sense to you? When you speak truth to that, man, there's not going to be a list of people that are not going to be interested in listening to your testimony. You're just telling the truth about what Jesus has done in your life. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, and he's telling us in the first part of that scripture that we just read, he's saying that our testimony has three parts. And the first is, again, our life before Christ, where we were dead in our sin and our transgression. And he's talking about his background and his beliefs, how he deeply opposed the message of Jesus Christ and what he was doing, right? But we have to be honest about our life before Christ. We have to acknowledge the struggles and missteps and even the misunderstandings that kept us from knowing Jesus, right? The openness to that allows people to see the radical change that he's made in our hearts and in our lives. We can't be ashamed of the past, right? That's to rob God of the glory, ultimately. You have to be vulnerable to share and keep it real. People don't want to be impressed, right? They want to know you. They want to know your real story. People want to see the best parts of you, the things, the highlights, the highs, right? That's all fake, guys. That's why if you're on social media, sometimes it's like, man, you get all depressed if you're on that. Because it's like, man, I mean, every time I'm on social media, I always get hungry. I don't know what comes up on my feed, all kinds of different, like, that looks good. My phone is listening to me that I'm like trying to lose some weight. So it introduces more burritos, more tacos, more, it's like, anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about now. Sorry, I got distracted. My stomach started growling right now. But listen, right? Here's what it is, that Jesus loved you where you were. Even before all the front, Jesus loved you where you were. He saw you. And he loved the real you. The one that had a mess, that had made a mess of your life, just like me. I'm just being honest with you guys. God loved me enough when I was still, and I thought I had my life all put together, and I was just like, man, you know what? I see you. I love you. I know you're in denial about who I am. I know you're seeking to fill all these things out, but Jesus loved me, right? Just like he loved you where you were. And we have to be real with that part. You don't have to try to impress anybody. God loves you already, and it's your story that you can give life to what your life was like before Jesus Christ. Now, the second part of the testimony, which we're going to jump back into Acts 26, is that the second part of our testimony is our genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's the third fill in the blank. A genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, the life-changing moment. A genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, the life-changing moment. Acts 26. So if we go back to Acts 26, we're going to be reading out of verse 12. And verse 12 says, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At about noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, as witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people, from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among the sanctified by faith in me. Amen? Amen. So Paul he's telling the story about what his life was like before Christ. And now as you pick up in verse 12, he's saying, and I was now on the road. He had now had a letter from the chief priest to go persecute more Christians in Damascus. You guys remember that part? So he's heading north into Lebanon. And so he has this genuine encounter with God where he sees a light. You guys remember that? And he hears Jesus talking to him. Man, wasn't that awesome? Don't you wish that you were Paul? Right? But what happened to him afterwards? Something happened to him. I don't know if you guys remember that. He got blinded from that experience. You guys remember that? And for 3 days, he had to go, right? He couldn't see. But he had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. He had a vision, right? And Jesus himself is saying, listen, why are you persecuting me? He says, I have, and he also gave him a commission at the time, too. He says, listen, I've called you to this task to go share the good news of who I am to the Gentiles, right? And to bring people to repentance. He's sharing again the context. He's telling the story of what happened to him and the radical transformation that happened in his life. He's saying, King Agrippa, do you remember what my life was like? I was a religious leader. I was a Pharisee. I was persecuting Jews. And then I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you what he asked me to do. See, everybody in here is going to have a genuine encounter. You're going to have a Jesus moment, and you have to decide what you're going to do with it. It's a big deal, guys. I don't know about you guys, man, but when I met the Lord, I was like far away from God. My brother had been trying to get me to go to church for about a solid 2-3 years. And I was always like, if you guys met my brother before he got saved, he was always mad. He had a massive temper. And so that's the first thing that I started noticing is like, man, God is doing something in his life like that. And I would say, but that's good. He needs that, right? He doesn't, I have a different kind of anger. I have a, who's my alter ego, guys? It's Tupac, right? Tupac Shakur would live inside of me all mad. But I kept them in, right? I was at work, I'd be all with my tie. But inside, I was mad. Like, I was like, had kinds of anger. But I kept it at bay, you know? I was like, okay, on the inside, I feel like Tupac, but on the outside, my hair was all, tie on. Okay, yes, yes. But I always felt I was needing something. I didn't have peace, guys. I was always struggling with the inner turmoil of my flesh. And I said, man, God, I'm doing all these things and I'm seeing all these wins, but man, I have no peace in my life. I'm achieving all these things. People say, do these things and your life is going to work out just fine. And I'm not finding any of that to be true. And so when I was fronting, I was like, oh, I got it all put together. And so my brother would say, you got to come to church, man. You know what, man, this, and I would say, that's good for you. You need Jesus for sure, brother, because I've seen you. Like I've known you your whole life. Like you got some real anger issues. I was in denial, because on the inside I had my own Tupac, right? But he was like, you could see it in his life. And so he would invite me all the time, and he would say, come to church. And I said, no, I'm good. And I'm going to speed up right now. But long story short. Right, I finally heard the message of the gospel, and I'll tell you guys, I came in through the door very reluctant to a service. Number one, the music was too loud, and I was like, man, what is this, a concert? Like, I thought it was a church. But then I finally heard somebody share the gospel, and I found the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I mean that. And I came into a service similar like this, right, almost as many people here, and I was sitting in the back, and I said, something is happening to me right now. I don't know what it is. This word and the thing that I feel in my heart, it was the Holy Spirit, obviously. And I said, man, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to have to go back because something is happening, right? And so after 7 services, I finally gave my life to the Lord. I didn't know what I was doing. I had a lot of different doubts. I had, man, if there's somebody that had doubts about Jesus when he got saved, you're looking at him. You guys, I've said this before. If you would have told me, When I was 25, that I would be planting a church, that we would be serving, I would tell you, man, you're crazy. You're talking about somebody else. But God had other plans. Amen? God had other plans for what he wanted to do in our life. And all I was to say is, like, that was my Jesus encounter moment. I'll show you guys my testimony at another date and time about how he started to do what he wanted to do. He was knocking on my heart and saying, hey, you're looking for the truth? You're looking for all these things? It's like, Jesus, hey, come and see. Come and see what this life is about. Man, and I said yes, and I'm telling you guys, there's nothing like it, guys. There's nothing like it. And so every one of us is going to have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, he gives us a choice, right? I'd rather have my genuine encounter with Jesus Christ right now than when he's sitting at the bema seat in the time of my judgment, amen? We have a responsibility to tell the good news of who he is and to share what our life was like before when we meet Jesus, and then lastly, what our life is like after. So number 3 in today's message is the third part of your testimony is what your life is like after Jesus Christ, our life after Christ. And it's the transformed life that comes from being saved, our life after Christ, the transformed life that comes from being saved. And that's in, we're going to pick up again in the scripture, going back to Acts 26:19. Acts 26:19 says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in Judea, and to all the Gentiles. I preached they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate the repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses would have said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. He says, "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul replied, "Short or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Except for these chains. So Paul finishes his testimony. And he says, "Listen, let me tell you what my life has been like after I got the call. I met Jesus. And let me tell you what I've been doing. I've been sharing the good news to the Gentiles." Right? And so what does that look like in your life? You tell people about what your life was like without Jesus Christ. You tell about when you met him. And then you tell what God has been doing in your life. Because listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, amen? Jesus is the one that gives us the ability to forgive. Jesus is the one that comes to restore us back to him. He's a restorer of our relationship with him, but with each other, amen? And God gets the glory from that. And people see the witness and they testify. What has God called you to do? He's called us to be set apart for him, number one, to know him and to make him known and just share the good news of what that is, guys. God is doing something in your life. It's worthy to share the good news. We don't want to hype it up. And here's the thing. What God is doing in your life is not about you. God gets the glory. Amen? He just uses us. We just say, "Yeah, God, wherever you want to lead, what do you want us to do? Let's do it. Let's roll." Right? Jesus, if you're driving, let's go. Right? I'll follow you. Because I know when I'm with you, Jesus, man, what do we got to be afraid of? When Jesus is in control of our life, what do we have, right? You know, I've said this before, is that when you have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, you know where you came from. You know where you're going. The rest is just to figure out the part in the middle. What's his plan and his purpose for your life? I said, man, every one of us, why don't we just pick up our cross daily and say, you know what? I still struggle with certain things. But man, Jesus is the one that gets me through it, right? I still have doubts and insecurities, but man, I'm confident in Jesus Christ. I still have certain natures. I'm wrestling with the flesh, like Paul says. We don't have enough. To live is to struggle. We have salvation, but we have that constant battle with the flesh. And we just give truth to it. So you know what, man? God meets me where I am every single day. His grace is sufficient. He sustains me. He provides for me. He gives me hope and a future. And I don't have to feel like I'm not just like, The word I'm looking for is, without Christ, there's just an angst about life. Do you know what I mean? When we give our life to Jesus Christ, he says, man, come here. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. And I'm for you. And that's the kind of news that we need to be sharing with brothers and sisters who don't know who Jesus is. Jesus is who he says he is. He comes to make us whole. And so we need to share the good news of who he is. That's why we share the good news. That's why, and the how, right? It's your testimony. Your testimony. Very simple. You tell your story with authenticity. Not try to impress anybody, but just to say, hey, let me just tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And God will strategically place people who have a very similar path that you're on. So you can say, let me tell you what it was like. And then I met Jesus, and this is what it's like. And it's not about you. It's not about how you got it together. It's not about how you figured it out. It's all about Jesus. It's all about how he restores. It's all about how he makes us whole. And then all we have to do is to say, let me introduce you to him. Would you like me to introduce you to him? Would you like me to introduce you to him? Because oftentimes we want to what? Self-help. Listen, you got enough problems of your own, right? Don't take on somebody else's problems. Seriously, don't think that you're not a member of the Avengers, okay? You're not going to save nobody. You need to be saved. Jesus Christ does the saving, amen? But we just say, hey, because immediately what's going to happen when you start telling your testimony, people are going to start, you know, like, help me, save me. And it's like, you're like the lifeguard that you can barely swim. We all need, you're going to drown me with your problems. I got enough problems of my own. But I got Jesus, he's the Savior. Let me introduce you to him. Amen? That's our job, guys. And then bring them on, bring them, invite them. Bring them. Bring them to a potluck, bring them to church, bring them to the women's coffee meet. Bring them to the men's, you know, the barbecue thing that we do, right? We're all tough. We killed this, we didn't even kill the chicken. We just threw it on the grill. We're men. Right? You know? Bring them. And we'll introduce them to Jesus. God is good. Amen? That's our job. Just tell your story. Don't complicate it. There's no need to be afraid of what God has done in your life. God is doing an amazing thing in your life. Amen? Let's continue to give him the glory. And let's not be afraid to share our testimony. Here's the big challenge. Write out your testimony this week. Write it out. What was your life before Christ? How did you meet him? And what has your life been since you've given your life to Christ? And here's the other part. Tell somebody about it. Say, hey, I'm going to share. Just bring it up. And let me tell you about. And just share your story. And that is enough, guys. That's every time and time again, when Paul got into different situations, he always referred to his testimony. He always went back to it. He didn't say, well, let me open up John chapter 15 and let's go to this verse. He didn't say that. He says, you know what I was like? I met Jesus and now it's like this. And he gets all the glory. He's good. Amen? Simple. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you again in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord God, thank you again, Lord God. You are an awesome God, Lord. Thank you that you meet us, Lord God, and you knew us, Lord God, when we were still sinners. You knew that we were a hot mess, Lord God, that we were dead in our sin and transgression. But Lord God, you loved us enough to send your son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord God, you're calling us today, Lord God, to have a love for people who don't know who you are, Lord. Your word tells us that you love people, that you would. It's your desire that none should perish, Lord God, but that all should come to repentance, Lord God, by knowing and putting their faith in you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord God, help us to do our part, to share the good news of who you are. To share the good news of who you are, Lord, to highlight what salvation is, to highlight the peace and the joy that comes from knowing you and having a full life with you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, I know, Lord, I always say, listen, and there's enough of us in the room like this that there is people that are hurting. There is people that have ache in their heart. There's people in here that have soul wounds even, Lord God. Will you meet them where they are? Lord, I pray right now for a supernatural, Lord God, healing. I pray for a sense and a genuine knock from the Holy Spirit, Lord God, in those hearts, Lord, that they can be restored and made whole in a right relationship with you. And if it's that's you this morning, man, there's no better decision to make than just to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If in this time of worship or in the time of reading the Word, you felt the Holy Spirit talking to you, prompting you, there's no reason to delay. Tomorrow's not promised to any one of us. But God wants to see us restored, made whole here and also in eternity. So if you don't know who Jesus is this morning and you want to know him, I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand. I'm going to lead you into a prayer. You know what? We're going to say this anyway because you might be too nervous to even say that right now. But listen, when you get home in the quiet part of your, when you get to the car, before you go to bed at night, you would just get on your knees and pray. Reach out to God. Jesus sees you. There's nothing magical about having to do it in a church experience. If God is prompting you in your heart, you need to say yes to Jesus. There's no better decision. And it's a very simple prayer. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you are that you died for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you were raised on the third day. And I want to trust. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of trying to do this on my own. Lord Jesus, will you come in? Will you come into my heart? Will you fill me with the Holy Spirit? And will you help me to live after you? Because I can't do this on my own anymore. And Jesus will come in and meet you where you are. I promise you. And as you continue on with your prayer, just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the beauty of the Scriptures to you. And to make himself, to reveal himself to you through the power of the Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. And he will. He is faithful. For the rest of us that are saved, Lord God, would you just continue to strengthen us in our walk with you, Lord? Yes, we struggle, Lord God. We know that we're still in that constant battle with the flesh, Lord God. We have victory in you, Lord God. So help us to continue to feed the Spirit, to be filled with you, Lord, to make time in our word, to make time to be in fellowship. And Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and glory, Lord God. Will you put in us, Lord, almost a feeling of discomfort, Lord God, if we're not sharing our testimony, if we're robbing you of your glory, of what you've done, Lord God, and what you're doing. Help us just to share the good news. Help us to take time to write out our testimony if we have to and share it with one person. Lord God, you don't want one single person to perish, Lord God. And we want to be a part of building up your kingdom. So I pray, Lord, that we'd be intentional to look for opportunities to share about your goodness, to share about your grace and your mercy. Lord, will you just continue just to be with us, guide us, Lord, and help us to move again beyond that fear of rejection. Lord, help us to move us to a new fear, Lord God, fear of other people missing out on heaven because we're too shy. Fear of other people missing out on heaven because we don't want to be inconvenienced. What a terrible way to live our lives, Lord God. That is not what I see, Lord God, from your commands, Lord, in this Bible. So Lord, continue to move us and make us uncomfortable, Lord God. Help us to get in the game and not just sit on the sideline and say, well, somebody else will reach that person. No. Help us to be intentional, Lord God, to bring more lost people to you, Lord God. You leave the 99, Lord God, to find the one. Help us to be a part of your search party, Lord God. Help us to find the lost as well. To share the good news of who you are and to love them authentically, Lord God, the way that you love us. And while we're still sinners, Lord God, you came down to die a sinner's death, a horrific and painful death. We'd be your agents, Lord God, to love people like that in the world. You love us like that, Lord God. Continue to guide us and keep us, Lord God. Watch over our family, our home, Lord. And thank you again, Lord Jesus, for choosing us. Lord, we don't want to be the frozen chosen, Lord God. We want to be the church that is alive, that is united, and that is loving, Lord, the way that you command us, Lord. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. We continue to be with our sister Irene and our brother Tony, Lord God. Bring them full healing and restoration, Lord God. Restore, continue to restore the relationship in their family and their home. We're thankful for what you've been doing in my sister Irene's life, God. We praise you, Lord God, for those twin babies. We praise you for her nephew that is alive, Lord God. Continue to protect him where he is. Lord, you are writing your story in all of our families, Lord. We're just excited that we're invited to be a part of it, Lord Jesus. Continue just to, again, bless us, watch over us, guide us, Lord. And thank you again, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, again, that every family that is here, Lord, would be made whole and restored back to you. And help us to be effective to reach more people, our friends and our families who don't know you, our coworkers who don't know you, to share the good news of who you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.